but we're back renewed, refined, and more rooted than ever in the work that we're doing. I'm so excited to be back with you, flying solo this time and for the time being. I've just got a lot to share right now, and I'm really excited for people who have listened in the past and people who are joining us for the first time. So just to remind you, the mission of the work that we're doing on this podcast and in the Human Values Collective, our nonprofit organization, is to teach human values in order to create a more compassionate and kind world. So this is a podcast for parents and teachers and anyone who's fed up with a broken educational system, seeking to raise and teach children with emotional wisdom, inner strength, and moral clarity. So we're back now. This is episode 7, and I'm excited for you to tune in, to relax, to enjoy. If you're new to the podcast, if you're new to me, to our work here, I'll just share a little bit about what it was like learning about and discovering human values for the first time. So I, you know, growing up in Chicago, I got into a lot of amazing experiences as a young person learning music in high school and in college. And I started to do work in after-school orchestra programs. My friends and I actually started an after-school orchestra program, the Yours Project. This is where we started to learn about this idea of music for social change. So the idea that we could help someone transform through the power of music. I had experienced that personally growing up, playing guitar and then learning how to play an orchestra in high school. I was a cello player myself. And it was so joyful to be able to give back to the next generation in the way that I was enriched. So at first I wanted to be a rock star, and I'm so grateful to my mom. My mom was like, why don't you get your education degree while you're waiting for your record deal? And I said, okay, I could do that. And just throughout this process of starting this orchestra program when we were still in college, fell in love with teaching. I just love to see that light bulb go off. In college, we also met our orchestra professor, who was this incredible person, Dr. Tom Zell, who taught us about a program called Education in Human Values. And so the idea of this program is to help students develop a connection with their own inner compass so that they can more easily navigate the challenges of life. And so when I learned about this program and I learned that it's all about teaching universal human values like love, truth, peace, nonviolence, and right action, I mean, I was hooked. Sign me up. I actually met my wife, Andrea, at a human values workshop that Tom hosted at our university. And Andrea had just come back from an internship in Thailand. It's this human values school in Thailand where you're part of this cohort from people all around the world. That it's a boarding school from kindergarten through 12th grade. All the students are learning the value of the week. So whether it's compassion, understanding, perseverance, resilience, the students, it's not an academic priority that the school has, but because they're uplifting the humanity of the students and they're putting this emphasis on emotional well-being, the students actually end up as a byproduct having incredible academic success and then are sought after for colleges and job opportunities all over Thailand. So the biggest thing I noticed when I was in the school in Thailand was how happy all of the children were. And I got jealous for our students in Chicago. At this point, I had been teaching full time for 3 years. I was starting to burn out. I tell the story all the time of the greatest thing that I wanted was for my students to be happy. They were struggling with anxiety, depression, and stress. And I wanted to help them, and I gave so much to them, and I'd stayed after school, I'd listen to them, they would tell me about their problems, and to me that was the most rewarding part of the job was helping students with, you know, whatever emotional struggles they were having with their relationships or figuring out what to do with their life and things like that. So I really enjoyed that part of the job, but I was also struggling with anxiety and depression, and I was in an unhappy relationship, and all of these things were making it very difficult for me to show up in my full power for students. I really didn't know how anxious and depressed I was until I myself went to Thailand and participated in this program, had this incredible spiritual awakening, forgave myself, forgave people in my life. And when I came back, my roommate at school, my colleague, Miles, said, yeah, you were always loving, but when you came back from Thailand, you were just like full power, a loving person. And so that I attributed that transformation to my practice of education and human values. And since then, we've been on this journey of inviting more teachers and more parents into this work to learn about human values. How do I practice it with my students, with my children, create those meaningful connections and give kids the tools that they need to navigate what's increasingly becoming sometimes a cold world, a world with a lot of technological distractions. And how do we come back to human values, universal human values, family values? And instead of treating people like things and things like people, remember that we're stronger together. We make this connection. We stay close to the fire. We uplift each other, and we build a kinder, more compassionate world in that way. So I experienced that incredible transformation, and everything I've done since then is about helping other teachers and parents do the same and then be the example of the human values for their students, because that's really how people learn, is through our good example. So before we get into the topic of the show today, I'm excited to lead us in a brief meditation. So wherever you are, I'm welcoming you to close your eyes. If closing your eyes helps you to focus, I'll close my eyes. And go ahead and start taking some nice and natural breaths in and out. And let's just imagine we're outside and we're under the sunshine. And the sunshine helps everything on this earth grow. Imagine a ray of sunlight landing on your head, and it feels nice and warm. And imagine the sunlight is helping us to think good thoughts. Where there is light, there can be no darkness. Now imagine a ray of light landing on your heart space. And imagine that this light is helping you to feel good feelings. Now you can imagine the sunlight landing on your hands, and that the sunlight is helping you to do good actions. Good actions lead to good thoughts. Good thoughts lead to good feelings. Good feelings lead to good actions, so on and so forth. Now, let's say thank you to the sun for shining and for helping us to grow in the most beautiful ways. And take a deep breath in and out. Wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes, stretch out your arms and legs, stretch in any way that feels good. And when you're ready, go ahead and open your eyes again. All right, here we are together again. Wasn't that nice? Good feeling. This is a version of the light meditation which we learned in Thailand. Much shorter version, much more accessible, I think, to young people, to the students or children in your life. And that's something that you can do at any time, especially when we're feeling stressed. We need a little bit of calmness. And we'll talk more about nervous system regulation and the parasympathetic nervous system and all those beautiful things in a future episode. But for now, just to say, and I share this with my students every day almost, is the more calm we are, the more access we have to our mental faculties, the more we can solve the problem that's in front of us. So this is one of the ways meditation and any kind of meditative practices are very valuable for us. So let's get into the main topic for today. What I would love to do with this podcast moving forward is spend some time just demonstrating what is it that I do in my classroom? How do I actually practice human values with my students? Or if I'm a parent, what do I do at home with my kids? Just to start to, again, help students and young people connect with their inner wisdom so they can navigate the challenges of life. So I'm just going to model for you exactly what I would do on a Monday morning and pretty much every class period throughout the day. I'll welcome students and say, hey, everybody, thank you so much for being here. I'm so glad you're here. I'm excited that we're going to play music together. We'll do some tuning. We'll do a short meditation like we just did with the light meditation. And then I'll say, this week, through the lens of truth, we are practicing the value of conviction. And the thought of the week is, this is the way. Can we say that together? One, two, ready, go. This is the way. And now this is the point where I would invite students to share their interpretation. What does conviction mean? Or what does the thought of the week, this is the way, mean? And give students an opportunity to share. Sometimes students are very excited and they want to share their opinion and their thoughts, and that's awesome. It might be a little slow going at the beginning of the year as we're still learning about this thing called education and human values. And if students are having a hard time coming up with something, I'll share. I like to share personal stories from my life. Students are very hungry and thirsty to hear personal stories from adults. They are just trying to figure out what life is, how do I navigate life? So anytime we can share a personal story, we'll talk about later on that story is a very important aspect of this work. It's one of the five teaching techniques. So similarly, if you are a parent and you're trying to build a stronger connection with your children, we know that the number one thing that children crave is a good relationship and a meaningful relationship with their parents. So if you're a parent who wants to build that meaningful relationship, especially, you know, I'm a high school teacher, so I'm around teens a lot. So I understand the challenges of the cell phones and getting them off of the cell phones and getting them to interact with other human beings is a big challenge. So this could be a way of starting to implement that. If you're a parent of younger children, hey, even easier. You can start having these conversations. I would say even when they're itty bitty little babies, you know, you and your spouse or your older children, you can be talking about the value of the week in front of them. And even if they can't participate, we're planting seeds. We're never underestimate the power of planting seeds. And eventually they'll join that conversation when they have more language, right? So these are things to bring back this sense of family values, right? Hey, let's talk about the value of the week. And here's how I'm going to practice it at work. How can you practice conviction at school or, you know, with your cousins or with your friends? So if I were to answer this question, what does conviction mean to me? It means to have like this definiteness of purpose. I'm convinced that this is the way. I have a conviction. It's a quality that we see in leadership. And I want to point to this fact that there are a lot of leaders in the world right now that aren't necessarily leading humanity in a good direction. They might be manipulating or taking advantage of people, right? And people will follow them because they speak with conviction. They're very sure of what they're saying, but they may not have the best intentions for people. And mind you, some of us more sweet, sensitive souls, these kind-hearted, heart-centered people, are often second guessing ourselves, right? We're second guessing ourselves. We don't have that confidence yet. So this is the invitation, especially if you're a person that cares about other people, wants everyone to be okay, wants to work together to make the world a better place. This is an opportunity for you to practice having conviction and practice saying something like, this is the way. Come on, people, let's go. We're going to do it. This is the way. We're so used to following, and you know, you're going to hear me talk about the education system. It's, as I've seen it now, there are good schools and there are good teachers and good administrators, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, education system as we see it today is not designed for us to be free thinkers, not designed for us to be leaders. It's designed for us to be followers and consumers. So it might be a little scary to say, I'm a leader and I'm going to lead people, and this is the way. For a lot of us, that might bring up a lot of resistance because we weren't taught how to be leaders. We weren't taught how to be assertive in that way. But again, there are people who are leading us in wrong directions and they have convictions. They're not second guessing ourselves. So what I'm asking you is, there's going to be a point in life where there's something happening and you're going to look around you and you're not going to see a leader. And in that moment, my people, guess what? You're the leader. Yes, you are. You're going to have to be the one to step up and say, this is the way. Let's go. And when you have conviction and confidence in that way, other people feel safe, and then they will trust you, and then they will move in the direction that you're pointing them. Yes, let's start practicing that right now so that when the time comes for us to be the leader, you know, it's not this jarring experience, but we're like ready to go. Like we're, oh yeah, I've practiced this. I've practiced conviction. This is the way. So that's my interpretation of conviction. That's what I would share in the classroom or on the dinner table. And as an example of the work that we're doing here, it's really knowing that our mind is preset for negativity. We're from like a caveman Neanderthal days. That part of our brain has not evolved, so it's always looking for danger. So that means our brain is wired for negativity. It's running on that old, outdated operating system, if you will. And what we're doing with education and human values is, number one, we are identifying emotions. We're giving emotional language so that students have access to how to express and manage their emotions. And then we're updating the operating system to say to our brain, hey, this is the way that I want to think moving forward. And so we repeat the thought of the week, we repeat the value of the week every single day at the beginning of every single classroom or every night at dinner, because we're installing the new program, right? We're saying, this is what I want to think moving forward. Again, good thoughts lead to good feelings, lead to good actions, lead to good thoughts, so on and so forth, as we mentioned in the meditation. So in essence, that's practicing education and human values. And every single week, we are having a new value and a new conversation. And these are really conversation starters. But the point is to start exploring that connection with your inner compass, with your inner wisdom, so that you can more easily navigate the challenges of life. And if we can model that for our young people in our life, they're going to be set up for life. I remember having a senior in my class, this was maybe 3 years ago, and we were talking about decision making. At the end of class, the student came up to me and said, Mr. Payano, this is so weird, but when you were talking about trusting in your own decision-making ability, that really impacted me, because I'm trying to decide what college to go to, and I was agonizing about the decision, and I didn't know what to do. And when you encouraged us to have faith in our decision-making abilities, that really landed with me. And now I feel much more confident about not just making this decision, but other big life decisions and well. So I want to say thank you. And to me, that's one of those moments that I look back and I'm like, yes, this is the way. This is the way. This is what I want all teachers and all parents to do, because we can really build our kids up. I know that we're worried about our kids getting into dangerous situations and falling victim to different influences. And the best way to protect our children is to build up their self-esteem. Because if a child has confidence in themselves, that they have that sense of self-worth, they will not put themselves in dangerous situations. They'll have that inner compass. They'll have that awareness when something weird is happening and be like, I shouldn't be here. And they'll be able to get to a much safer place. So if we want our kids to be happy, healthy, and safe, we want to build up their self-esteem. And these are little seeds that we're planting along the way. But I've seen, as being a teacher for 16 plus years, that little things become big things. And these things really have a way of bearing fruit, especially years later. I'll get emails from students saying, hey, thank you so much. Like, now I'm teaching my daughter. I just got a message on TikTok saying, thank you for Ms. Payana for everything you taught me. Because of you, now I'm seeing my daughter grow up with human values, and it's making such a difference. And so never underestimate the power of your words, your thoughts, and your actions to make a big difference in someone's life. And we lead by example. Ah, so good. So this is all really amazing stuff, and I hope you're inspired. I hope you're feeling ready to start having these conversations. I just really believe that we have a huge opportunity as teachers and as parents. We never know the impact of the work that we do in this way, especially helping students to overcome apathy, stress, disconnection. Human values really does feel like the antidote to a lot of those things, because it builds character, it supports children's emotional resilience, and it helps them to create authentic relationships in an age of digital distractions. So I'm just very excited about that. I also shout out to my friend Fadua, who I met in the school in Thailand. She would say, you have no idea about your impact because you're teaching. And even if you are only reaching one student in that classroom, that student eventually is going to teach their children. And then their children will teach their children, and so on and so forth. And we have no idea what the impact and implications of us teaching human values can be. So if you're fired up, if you're excited like me, you know me, I get very excited. I love talking about, I can talk about this stuff forever. So if you're excited, here's a couple of things to go a little bit deeper into the work, because it can be a little awkward sometimes if you're like, well, how do I actually start doing it? You know, we need to have a little bit of practicing in our own personal life first, and then we can bring this to the classroom or to the dinner table. So the first thing to do is to sign up for our Value of the Week email. This is what we started doing about 7 years ago as we started our nonprofit organization, the Human Values Collective. We started to send the value of the week in an email form every single week. So that will include the value of the week and the thought of the week, as we've talked about in today's episode. But it also includes the other four teaching techniques. So there's going to be a song, a story, a group activity to do with your children or your students, and a meditation. And all of these five teaching techniques are going to relate back to whatever the value of the week is. And so what I like to do is I'll do the thought of the week on Monday in my class. And actually every day we repeat the value of the week and the thought of the week, just to, again, the subconscious mind needs instructions to be repeated over and over again in order to obey them. So the name of the game is repetition. That's how we learn. That's how we master everything, is through repetition. So I'll say the value of the week and the thought of the week at the beginning of class every single day. And then on Tuesday, we'll do the song of the week. On Thursday, we'll do the story. On Friday, we'll do the group activity. I do a little meditation, even if it's like a 20-second, 30-second meditation every single day. But that way, we're spacing it out. I know for a lot of teachers, it's like, I don't have a lot of time to do a whole nother social emotional learning thing, right? So challenge accepted. Let's keep it to the first 2-3 minutes of class, even less if you get really good at it. And I would just introduce it at first as this is Mr. Payano's mental health initiative. This is what I do so that I can have positive mental health. And I'm inviting you to do it with me. Or, you know, if it's your children at home, it's a similar thing. Like, hey, let's do this activity together so that we can grow as a family. Never as like, you need to do this, right? We're not getting into the punitive discipline. That doesn't work. We're always making it an invitation. And remember, you're responsible for the invitation and they're responsible for receiving the invitation. So you just keep making the invitation over and over again. Eventually, they'll want to be part of the party. Again, your example is your greatest teacher. So if you're over here having a great time and you are practicing human values, eventually that's going to be the attractive thing that attracts students or the children. So that's something you can sign up for. You can also join us if you're new to meditation or a seasoned meditation expert and you want to meditate together with other people, because I don't know about you, but me, if I want to be successful and consistent at something, I always find a group to do it with, because that I tend to stick with it if it's a group. So we have a Sunday night Zoom meditation that meets every week at 8 p.m. on a Sunday, where we do a brief 15-minute meditation. And then we will talk about the value of the week and how we're going to practice it. So that's also free, open to the whole public. And then specifically for teachers, parents are welcome as well. But we're going to be having a webinar on May 22nd. The title of the webinar is Saving Students' Souls, What to Do When Schools Are Broken. So this is going to be a gathering for educators who are ready to lead in a different way their students, because the way we're doing education now clearly is not working. When we're uplifting and prioritizing academic success, and of course I want academic success for my students as well, but the thing is if we have very smart people but we don't have empathy, that's when a lot of hard, terrible, violent things can happen. So my strategy is uplift the emotional intelligence, and the academic success will follow once they feel really good about themselves, once they can deal with their emotions of frustration, because learning is inherently painful, it's inherently stressful, it's inherently a struggle. But if they can persevere past that discomfort of learning, they'll learn anything. So really the name of the game, again, is to help the kids to become resilient, to overcome their emotional upset, to know that they're going to be okay. We want to praise not their good job, but we want to praise their effort. Yes, I love your effort. Keep trying. You're going to get it eventually. And all of that goes a long way to creating eventually healthy and emotionally stable adults, which we definitely want more of. I want to thank everybody so much for listening to this podcast. I'm so happy to be back with you. There's more where that came from. And please continue your support and your encouragement. Every time I get a message on Instagram or on TikTok, it really goes a long way to inspire me to keep this work going. I know this work is valuable. It's transformed my life. And it's also transformed of the lives of the teachers that are part of our community, part of our membership. And so we're just inviting you to work with us, because as we've said before, our job is to make a kinder, more compassionate world. And we can do that if we work together. So stay close to the fire. Keep teaching with the greatest tool you have, your own good example. Love yourself and love the world. We'll see you next time.